All right, everybody. All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so happy to be feeling better today. Thank you all for praying for me. I do feel a lot better today, and I just want to thank the Bible College students yesterday for stepping up and helping me at the last minute, because we really have been learning a lot about what is real Christianity. And I'm very excited about the next semester because we're going to learn who is the real Jesus. And that's through the tabernacle, you know. The tabernacle is how we discover the price he really paid. It's going to cause you to do a lot of repentance. Excuse me. A lot of repentance and a lot of, just being very grateful for the price that he really paid for us. And I'm going to tell you, Brad, you need to really know who Jesus is right now. Because they are surely flooding the internet to confuse people. And I just encourage you guys to get off that. You know, those days are over of researching and just sucking up all the knowledge you can. You know, one of the things that the Bible College students is learning right now is about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, you don't have to know and are not meant to know all truth out there. And that's what this new administration is. One of their big pillars is truth, but it is not a good truth. It's off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So they just want to flood everybody with all this vomit and keep them distracted with truth that probably is true. But are we meant to go down that road? Are we meant to go down these rabbit holes and be sucked in the metaverse? That's what all that is for. And so I'm just encouraging, you know, stay focused. And once you know who Jesus is, don't retreat, you know, because we're going to have to be strong in this hour. See, it's really sad because the way that we understand Jesus is going to be an outlaw very soon, because we will look like the crazy ones when they are this universalist, ecumenical revival, this global revival that they're doing in the name of the Catholic Church, but they're not telling people that. They're doing the same kind of worship like Hillsong and Bethel, and they've even trained the Catholic Church how to worship the way we do. I mean, deception of what's coming is not even going to be funny. It's not even... It's going to be so bad, you know, you have to be careful not to get swept in, because they have no doctrine. And I know all of us, you know, that are worshipers and lovers of Jesus, you know, the way that we will worship at his feet till the cows come home, have always said, I could worship forever. We know. Excuse me. Let's don't even preach, you know. Excuse me. Let's don't even preach. Let's just worship all day. But we have to have that doctrine. We have to have our pillars, our, you know, foundation that we believe, and that's what they're getting rid of, is the boundaries of what is real and what is not. And so us that have that, you know, the boundaries of holiness and what we believe Jesus is going to be extinct type of deal. So I just really encourage you, Bride, you know, to really hold up. Sorry. I guess I'm going to stop talking. The devil's a liar, amen. But I'm going to open it up. Today is Giving Wednesday, and it's where all of you give back to each other, which has really helped me today for sure. So I'm going to open up the floor. You don't have to say your name or anything or where you're from. But when you hear it say you're unmuted, then just start talking. All right, here we go. Oh, by the way, let's pray I get to feeling better, because I've had this news I need to tell you guys. I've had it for a few days, and I've got it all set up and ready to do. They did come out and put in the new internet yesterday. So hopefully, you know, it'll be sufficient enough. But we'll have to see. If not, I'll just upload it again. But, okay, here we go. All right, sister, you got the floor.
Hello?
Hello, sister.
Okay. And just real quick, how do I know when it's me? Because I just talk. That's why I didn't know you were talking to me. So how do I know when you unmute a certain person?
It'll say you are unmuted.
My phone don't say that.
Well, so, when the others come on, we'll ask them.
Okay.
I guess I'll just call on you, so go ahead, sister.
Okay. I just wanted to read, it's 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 8. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. And I was just going to say about that, because I'm doing things right now, you know, for Jesus and everything, and the devil, and it's outside my wheelhouse. And the devil has been telling me, you know, you're dumb. You can't learn this. Just give up. Don't even do it. You're going to embarrass yourself. But I've just been pressing on and, you know, praying about it. And no matter, you know, the embarrassment or whatever, I just keep doing it because that's how much it means to me. So I just wanted to share that because it just sort of hit home with some things I'm going through right now.
Thank you so much for sharing. And yes, in the name of Jesus, you are victorious. In the name of Jesus. Leslie said it may be only the app users that hear the word unmuted. Okay, thank you. We'll see when we get to other people. What about you in Canada? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Bride. Just a few thoughts on why we should use the King James Version Bible. Because I've heard this many times as a new Christian. And they would say, many people would say, too many these and thous, and it's old language, hard to understand. So I got introduced to the NIV Study Bible Version. It was recommended to me, and I liked it. I found it easy to understand until later. I was told, again, the King James Version was more accurate and closer to the original Hebrew-Greek text. I actually had a King James Version that was given to me earlier, and I started reading the scripture with the King James Version. And it was not hard to understand. In fact, the language seemed more powerful and piercing when I read it. Being saved at that point, but not yet baptized, I started searching the scripture to see if it was even necessary to be baptized. And I came across Acts 8:36-37, and in the King James Version, it says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So thinking I would check the NIV, I found the whole verse 37 was missing. There's no mention that you must first believe before you're baptized. And I started thinking, what else in the NIV has changed if that's gone? What a rabbit hole to collect all the changes. It's actually sinful what they've done to God's word. And I found out a few things. In 1988, Zondervan and NIV version was purchased by Harper and Row Publishers, which are now called HarperCollins Publishers. HarperCollins publishes numerous pro-homosexual books, plus the Satanic Bible. And the HarperCollins is a subsidiary of the global media empire, the news corporation owned by Rupert Murdoch. The news corporation empire includes Fox Broadcasting, 20th Century Fox, and more than 128 newspapers. The King James Bible is the only Bible version that's not owned by men. The King James Bible has no copyright ownership other than it's crown owned. It's a crown copyright, so the British Crown has the rights to it and allows it to be published by anyone anytime without asking anybody permission. The NIV, since it was taken over by Harper Row, has removed completely 17 verses from the King James Version. And when I started searching this, some of them say 45 verses. I didn't get time to go through them all, but for sure they took out Matthew 17:21, 18:11, 23:14, Mark 7:16, 9:44, 9:46, 11:26, 15:28, Luke 17. It goes on. I probably no point reading all these. It's too quick. But if you do your search, is that there's a reason they took these out. And more than that, the NIV has removed or changed over 64,000 words. This number's debatable when I do searches on it, but for sure it's many, many thousands. So just like an example, in Mark 6:11, in the King James Version, it says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And if you read the NIV, it says, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake off the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So why would they even make that change unless it's the reference towards sexual perversion is what they didn't want people to be reminded of. So looking deeper into this, you see that the NIV actually perverts the deity of Jesus Christ. It just takes it away. It perverts the virgin birth. I'm not going to go into all these scriptures. We only got 5 minutes, so... It perverts John 3:16 into a lie about his begotten son. Begotten is taken out, so that which is the difference between any son of God and Jesus. It removes the consequence and the sin related to vile sexual afflictions. That's all taken out to soften it. it robs Jesus Christ of worship, as the words worship him is totally removed in the NIV. The list goes on, but I know now to stick to the King James Version and only use other versions as a reference, knowing that the verbiage may have been altered or slanted. So now, do you really know why we use the King James Bible? You can search for the changes in your version, like the American Standards, and there's so many, it goes on and on. But do a search on the changes that were made, and you'd probably be very surprised. So that's what I have today. Praise the Lord. May he richly bless the bride. Thank you.
Bruce, you get an A++. I am so proud of you, brother. That was so awesome.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. That was really good. I really enjoyed it. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning, sister. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning. Well, I'm going to be talking on a couple of scriptures about God is our refuge and strength. God is, the Lord is rank, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he has girded himself, the world also standeth that it cannot be moved. And then, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in a time of trouble. That if you need a refuge, God is our refuge, because all this stuff going on now, you got to have a refuge, because you ain't got a refuge, you ain't got a place to hide. God is the only one can hide you, because man can't hide you. God is our refuge and strength. He gave us strength, and he a refuge for us too. He said he clothed with majesty. God is our strength, our refuge and strength. If you ain't God, you got a refuge. But you ain't God, you better have. But you ain't God, you gonna be your refuge. And then that song, 62:7-8. And God is my salvation, and my glory, rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Talk about refuge still. God is our refuge and strength. God is my salvation, refuge and strength. God, trust in him at all times. He pour out your heart to God, because he's a refuge for us. Because if you ain't God, God going to be your refuge. If somebody was searching for you and God didn't want them to find you, they could walk right on by and they didn't want you to see you. Because God, he's that kind of God. He can hide you on the shadow of his wing. Because Psalm 91, Psalm 91:1-2 say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, and God in him will I trust. Because if you trust in God, God will be a refuge for you to hide you in the place of the shadow of the Most High. Because he's a refuge and strength. He gives you a refuge and strength, but he can be a refuge too. And I'm going to Psalm 118:14 says, the Lord is my strength, and the song and it has become my salvation. That was it. It's still talking about strength again. God is our strength. And God, we ain't got no strength. Because a lot of times I got a hip replacement. Sometimes I be having problems. I used to have no problem. I had it about 25 years now. He just started giving me a little bit of problem anyway. Sometimes I said, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength. I be in the kitchen cooking. I said, Lord, give me strength. I know but that God ain't got no strength. I go off of strength. I said, Lord, please give me strength. I was walking yesterday. I asked God to give me strength. I walked around my garden pump like three times on Tuesday and Thursday. Yesterday I was walking. I got kind of tired. I said, I asked God to give me strength to make it, but I made it because I asked God for strength. Because if you ask God, he said, ask me, shall be given. You need something. God said, ask. If you ask God, you ask me, shall be given. You're doing it from your heart, not for anything, because God ain't going to give you anything. But anyway, I was asking God to give me strength. Now, he gave me strength and made it. Then I got a last scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me in Jesus' name. I put Jesus' name on the end of it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me in Jesus' name. But that's all I have for you for today. Okay.
Well, it's so beautiful, sister. I'm just so proud of you. You get an A+. You too, Miss Leslie. I appreciate you, sister. All right. What about you, sis?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Food for thought this morning. There is a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything, there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. The King James Version says, to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So divine timing. God has a specific time for everything that happens in life. Seasons of life. Life is comprised of various seasons, including times of joy, sorrow, building, tearing down, planting, and reaping. Acceptance and trust. Encourage acceptance of life's changes and trust in God that God is in control of the timing of events. So that's all I have this morning. That's kind of a food for thought for the day.
Well, thank you very much. That is awesome. That's an A+ for you as well. What about you, Miss Darcy? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I'm just in awe with everything going on right now. I know God is strengthening me, giving me strength, slowly changing. I feel at peace. I don't feel quite as frazzled as I once was because I'm ready to change, to see what He has in store for me. I do know I'm here for such a time as this, and I'm open. I feel relief. That's it. I'm always nervous when everybody can hear what I say. So that's it.
Well, I tell you what, Miss Darcy. We're going to pray through this Bible college experience that you're going to come out of that timidity. Amen. God is going to raise your voice. Yes, God's going to raise your voice, and you're going to be more assured of who you are in Christ. And that's what's going to help, because all of us as the bride, okay, let's all just pause here a minute and think. Every one of us, when we get saved, it's no longer us. There's no longer our image anymore. It's all Him. So when we speak, we just allow Him to use our temples. So that's what it means by being in Him. It's no longer us being failures or anything like that. When we allow God to use us, He gets the glory. See, it's a big difference. Amen. So I'm proud of you, Miss Darcy. You get an A+. All right, let's move on to Miss Deborah. Oh, I told y'all's names. Oh, we're recording. Well, nobody knows y'all's last name. So, good morning, Miss Deborah.
Good morning, June and Bride. It's interesting because just like Miss D, I'm going to call her Miss D in Florida, shared that God is my refuge and salvation. And I'm going to piggyback off of that because I have a women's Bible study group that I get together with. And we're going to be discussing tonight Psalm 20. So I want to read Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you and help you from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices, Selah. Then I love this. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Yes, in your mighty name, Jesus. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call. And when I was going through your book from, let's see, page 33, when you say, when we are in obedience, we are walking in a glory realm called the garden. And you gave the example where God gave man a seed, right? The sperm enters the woman that cultivates that seed, and it's supernaturally connected to the vine, the umbilical cord. So then I read John 15:1-7, where Jesus explains to us that he is the true vine and we are the branches. And our Heavenly Father is the gardener, and which is something I've prayed, that Heavenly Father, you are the potter, and thank you that you are molding me into what you created me to be. And also from your book on page 51, where you say God speaks through his word, and you give a reference, Psalm 119. Well, Psalm 119, let's see here. I'm looking at my notes here. Okay. In Psalm 119, I count it 13 times where the heart is mentioned because he searches our hearts. And now when I read God's word, I will make a notation. I make a little heart, you know, and a pink Sharpie, wherever heart is mentioned, because he searches our hearts. And for a while now, I've been praying Psalm 51 an awful lot. You know, create in me a clean heart, O God. You know, because we can't do it on our own. And it's by his power and his might that, you know, he's able to pull out those roots if we have any roots or any darkness, any spot of darkness, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do anything on our own, you know. But he, you know, all things are possible with him, and nothing is impossible for him. Amen. So I think that's all I have for this morning. So thank you so much.
Well, that's very beautiful. Thank you for referring to my book. And it is true about, you know, when a seed of a man, the human tree, you know, inserts the seed into the human woman, the other tree, It germinates and connects a new vine. Isn't that beautiful? And
it
then
sure
that
is.
Umbilical cord connects to a sac, you know. And then the Bible says when that baby is born that it comes through the matrix. That's something that should really make us all think. It comes into a new world. And then it's just a little plant, you know, and grows up. Like I said in the book, we have no choice where we're born, who our parents were, what our genealogy is, what we look like, or nothing, you know. But the Lord knows. Amen. Sis, you get an A+. Great job. All right, what about you, sister?
Good morning. Got a quick scripture here while I'm working. It is Psalms 15. And it said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that biteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fears the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not, who that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. And I just thank the Lord for his word and thank the Lord for loving us and that we try to walk up, that we live uprightly and try to walk righteously before the Lord and before the body of Christ so that we will be able to dwell in his temple, in his tabernacle. And so that's all I have today because I'm trying to work a little bit.
Well, thank you so much, Miss Kimberly. You're always such a blessing. Oh, I told your name too. What the world? I get an F today. All right. What about you, sister?
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everybody. I was looking through some stuff in the Word. I prayed about it and asked the Lord to lead me this morning and what I should be talking about. So he led me to 2 Peter. And 2 Peter 2 through, I can't see, 18, I think it is here. And then also I have a dream I'd like to share that I had the other day after this. It shouldn't be too long. Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know him better and better. For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. Even he shares his own glory and his own goodness with us. And by the same mighty power he has given us, all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness of all around us and to give us his own character. But to obtain these gifts, you need more than faith. You must also work hard to be good, and even that is not enough. For then you must learn to know God better and discover what he wants you to do. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his way with you. This will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them, and finally you will grow to love them deeply. The more you go on this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind indeed, or at least very short-sighted, and has forgotten that God delivered him from the old life of sin so that now he can live a strong, good life for the Lord. So, brothers, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Then you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I have a dream that I had. I've been dreaming. A lot of times I don't dream. So I had a dream on January the 6th, on the sixth day of the fast. And I'll tell you what I believe that it means, because I had the Holy Spirit show me what it meant. And then I went to look up the meaning of dreams biblically, not like some willy-nilly place. It was, you know, a biblical place. So it lined up with what the Holy Spirit was showing me. So I had a dream last night. I was in my room. The door was open, and there was a man outside my room wanting to come in, but he wasn't invited, and I told him to go away, but he lingered there anyway. My daughter had come into my room, and we were talking. The man was still outside the door, kind of hidden behind the wall, but I knew he was still there. A few minutes later, my room was filled with a bunch of young children, and I felt as if I was their babysitter. They were all calmly playing on the floor, but this one little girl was very attached to me. She didn't want to go play. She wanted to be right by my side. Then I saw a man outside the door again, but this time it was a different man. He came in and was kind and gentle-spirited. It was the little girl's father. He said to me, "All these children need to fast, everyone." I have a place I have found for them to fast with the right food. We all left the bedroom and went to the kitchen, and the dream ended. What the Holy Spirit showed me and told me, this is the wedding supper of the Lamb and the gathering of his children to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the gentle, kind man was actually Jesus, and everybody is his children. But my daughter, just like in the dream, my daughter was in the dream, and also this Jesus is, or this man's daughter was in the dream. And the daughter represents the child of God and could represent the child herself, symbolizing prophecy and beauty. Babysitting could indicate God has called you to mentor, watch over, guard, oversee those who are younger or less mature. Could also represent a children's ministry. I saw the bed in the room, and it also represents salvation, meditation, and intimacy. Could also symbolize peace in a marriage covenant. The kitchen is a place where people gather in biblical times to eat. The kitchen may also represent a place of preparation, the heart, or a place where, I don't write very well, guys. I'm sorry. I'm pretty, my handwriting's terrible. I can't even read my own. A place where, I can't read it, I'm sorry. It symbolizes a process that you must complete before entering into your destiny. Seeing a child in the dream is dreaming of a child in a dream could represent humility, faith, and innocence. It can also represent good news, the heart of Jesus, and the blessings and privileges of the kingdom of God. A father can represent the Father, God, the Holy Spirit, and the authority that is natural or spiritual. And the Father could also symbolize birthright, tradition, and or the inheritance in addition to a trainer, supplier of needs, the one who nourishes or the head of the household. The little girl, a girl is referred to as a damsel in the Bible, and a young girl may mean youth is being renewed, and a young girl may represent joy or gentleness. To see a girl may represent marriage, unity, or a covenant. A man could represent God's messenger. If it is a kind stranger, could represent Jesus. So I've seen the man that came into the room as Jesus, that father figure, that Jesus. The negative man outside was the devil trying to come in. A man could also represent a demonic messenger or one with an evil motive. But the man outside couldn't come in because he wasn't welcome. Like, he's not going to be welcome into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is our shield and our protector. And that's why Jesus is allowed to come in. I also seen that the little girl was probably about 2 years old. And 2 represents witnessing, separation, discernment, wholeness in marriage, dividing light from darkness, and relationship between God and man. And that's what I have.
Very good, sister. You get an A+. I want to thank you for sharing your dream.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yes. All right, what about you, sis?
Good morning, Pastor June. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I was trying to look up something I'd heard the other day in watching some people that I've had near-death experiences. And I know this lady talked about presumptuous sin because God showed her hell and while she was there, she was suffering and being tortured. And she asked herself there, why am I here? And then she said immediately after that, because of presumptuous sin. And I was trying to find that because I thought I wrote that down, and I haven't. But I just want to leave you with that thought. And just, I was looking for it. I ran into Hebrews 12. I know it's in the scripture in the Bible, and I don't remember which one it is. We talked about presumptuous sin. But I just wanted to share with you all because it's something really to really consider. These people that have had that experience have all said that, a lot of Christians are there and they're wondering why they're, they ended up in hell. A lot of pastors are there and there's a certain place for them and all that stuff. That really stuck out in my mind and I've been wanting to share. I don't know if I can share that channel, but it's people that have had near-death experiences and God has showed them hell. And on the opposite end, God has showed them, some of them haven't. But hell is always, just the thought of it has always scared me, for all these years. And that's really what, caused me to think, hey, get right with God. Literally, when are you going to do this? You're half in and half out kind of thing. So anyhow, just, I think I ran across that earlier last year, listening to somebody else. But anyhow, I wanted to read first Psalm 63, and then I just ran across Hebrews 12, verse 14. I guess I'll read that right now because I'm here. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. And that was 14 and 15, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. But I want to read Psalm 63 because that's what I read this morning right after Psalm 51. But Psalm 63 talks about thirst for God, Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. to see the power and the glory and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fail by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. That was Psalm 63:1-11. And I guess that's all I have today. And thank you for everyone for sharing.
Well, I looked it up what that meant, and this is what it means. That presumptuous sin, because that's a very serious thing that we need to understand what that is. So it says, presumptuous sin is the act of intentionally doing something that is known to be wrong, despite knowing that God forbids it. It's the act of assuming that no one knows better than God and making decisions without his guidance. Some examples are arrogant behavior, over-familiarity, lack of respect for God, overstepping your boundaries, brazenly, audaciously, and defiantly doing something. Presumptuous sin can damage one's relationship with God, but God can forgive all sin in Christ. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, sister.
Yes. Thank you for looking that up, Pastor June. Thank you so much. Yes.
You're welcome. All right. What about you? Good morning.
Good morning. Hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am. You sound great.
Okay. So I was doing a breakdown of Galatians 5:19-21. I'd done it a while ago, breaking down all the words, what they mean, and doing all the cross references and stuff. And for revelings, a cross reference is 1 Peter 4:3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. So I broke down idolatries, and it's just one of the ones I broke down, and an outline of the Bible, how it's used in the Bible, is the worship of false gods, which is idolatry, and number one is of the formal sacrificial feast held in honor of false gods, and two is of avarice as a worship of mammon. And from Noah Webster's Dictionary, 1828, idolatry is explained this way. Number one, the worship of idols, images, or anything made by hands, which is not God. Idolatry is of two kinds, the worship of images, statues, pictures, etc., made by the hands, and the worship of the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and stars, or of demons, angels, men, and animals. And number two is excessive attachment or veneration for anything or that which borders on adoration. Okay, in this number two, where it says, as the worship of mammon, I went ahead and broke that down. So how Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And I want to read this commentary on the word mammon. Okay, mammon is more than just money. A lot of folks do not understand this. Some translations of the Bible translate this verse as you cannot serve God and money. This may be true, but is that what Jesus is teaching? Mammon comes from an Aramaic word that refers to the desire to pursue wealth as a primary purpose or goal. The origin of the word mammon comes from the Chaldeans, which is Babylon. The spirit of mammon is a spirit of Satan who tries to seduce us by getting us to put money before God. Webster's dictionary defines mammon as the false god of riches and greed. The devil tried to seduce Jesus with a mammon spirit when he offered Jesus the wealth and kingdom of this world, which is Matthew 4:8-9. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is one of the rulers of the spirit of this world. Most believers do not consider themselves to be worshipers of money. They claim to be worshipers of God, but sometimes the spirit of mammon slips in. This was by Pastor George Belova from the Scripture Nugget Ministries, 2013. During the Middle Ages, mammon was common by personified as the demon of wealth and greed. And Gregory of Nyssa asserted that mammon was another name for Beelzebub. Okay, that's all I got.
Well, thank you so much, sister. That was beautiful. And I just got to tell you, I want to kind of encourage Ms. Darcy that the lady that just spoke was in the exact same boat that you are months ago, wasn't she, Leslie?
Yep.
And you have come so far. I'm giving you an A++. I'm so proud.
Thank you.
You have come a long way, sis. I'm so proud of you. All right. Now, Stephanie, I want you to tell us how you're doing today and let me know if you would like to talk. All right, sis, what about you? Good morning.
It's D.
Yes, I know.
Oh, okay. Good morning. Thank you for everyone's testimonies and everything. It's very encouraging. I'm at work right now, but... So I've been on this love journey with the Lord, you know, healing based on my past. So God is good. And a trusted sister gave me this book for Christmas, and I haven't had a chance to read it because I'm trying to press into organic Christianity and all that stuff. But I happened to just flip through it quickly, and I found something which actually was given out in my church a while ago. And I'm like, wow, look at this. This is just unbelievable. This is about who we are in Christ. You just can't believe this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So there's so many scriptures here.
No way. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And what I could do if people want this, maybe I can type it out and post it or something on the Bible College, or even just on Garden Ministry?
Please do.
Okay, so yes. I'll just try to read some of it. It says, to find out who you are in Christ, some believers can sense a newfound freedom and then days or weeks later begin to struggle again. Chances are that God is revealing some more of your past that needs to be dealt with. Wow, that is so true for me. June knows. Sometimes God works one layer at a time through the issues faced by those who have experienced severe trauma. Trying to deal with every abuse in one setting may be too overwhelming for some. If we show ourselves faithful in little things, God will put us in charge of bigger things. Claim your place in Christ with the following. I renounce the lie that I am rejected, unloved, or shameful in Christ. I am accepted. God says, I am his child, John 1:12. I am Christ's friend, John 15:15. I have been justified, Romans 5:1. I am united with the Lord, and I am one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6:17. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I am a member of Christ's body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. I am a saint, a holy one, Ephesians 1:1. I have been adopted as God's child, Ephesians 1:5. And I was just reading Ephesians this morning. That's so interesting. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:18. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins, Colossians 1:14. I am complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. I renounce the lie that I am guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned. In Christ I am secure. God says that I am free from condemnation, Romans 8:1-2. I am assured that all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. I am free from any condemning charges against me, Romans 8:31-34. I cannot be separated from the love of God, Romans 8:35-39. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God, 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected, Philippians 1:6. I am a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. I am hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, or a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. I can find grace and mercies to help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. And I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me, 1 John 5:18. And I just finished reading 1, 2, and 3 John 2. And there's more to it, but I just wanted to share those scriptures and encouragement, being that we're studying in Bible college who we are in Christ. So thank you.
Amen, sis. Thank you so much. You get an A+. That is awesome. That adds to what we're all learning. Amen. All right. What about you, sis?
I am unmuted.
Yes, hello? You are unmuted. Good morning. Hello.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's see. I can say God's doing a lot in my life. I can start out with, I really have a problem of getting into the flesh more than I should, and especially when I'm very, very upset. And God is doing miracles with that. I hear the Holy Spirit tell me scripture, you know, to make me be quiet, like Exodus 14:14. He will fight for you. You need only to hold your peace. And a lot of times we want to feel so, and I always pray this one too, but we always want to pray that, you know, somehow we think we're entitled and we're not entitled. Because when you, like you said earlier, when you end up in Christ, you're no longer your identity. You're no longer your boss. You don't make plans because you don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to have planned for you. And I'm learning all of this. And not only that, but, I mean, God is doing miracles. He sent my prodigal daughter back, you know, and I've been praying for that for quite some time. Now, she's not with him yet, but she needs to come home to her mama because her other family, you know, has gotten rid of her because, you know, she's an RN and she makes good money, and her kids, you know how your kids will do. Well, some kids, I don't know everybody's kids, but some kids, you know, will always take and take and take from their parents. And especially if that mama wasn't in their life, or, you know, she wasn't, none of us are perfect parents by no means. And we've all messed up with our kids, and I don't care who you are. But I'm just thankful that, you know, and I love this class, by the way, I want to say that as well, because I'm learning a lot. And I'm especially learning, you know, how you can use your eye gates. I always use my eye gates and my ear gates, but I didn't realize that your eye gates, your ear gates, and your mouth gates, you know, really brought you into the Bible. I mean, I've had more experiences since, you know, you talked to me the other day about that. And not only that, God is just changing my life, and my family can see it. So it's not like it's a feeling. It's truly a change. And I'm so thankful to God. He's been so good to me. And I love him. I love him more every day. And I'm going to serve him until my dying last breath. And I know that. I have already counted the cost. I know that if they come to get me for a FEMA camp, or, you know, like it says, you know, in the Bible in Revelation 2:10, you know, that Satan's going to throw some of us into prison for 10 days. Be ye thou faithful until the end. And we will have the crown of life. And so, you know, I've already counted the cost. I already know there's nothing in this world that's going to stop me. Nothing. No children, no husband, no job, nothing is going to stop me from making it to heaven, because I have a made-up mind. I have a mind set as flint. And so, you know, I hope that others realize, too, because like I said, we're all mothers, and we've all messed up. And if you can't even, you know, June, you had said, you know, when people come to you and they started telling, you know, what you did to hurt them, okay, that was a big turning point for me, because I was not a good mother, okay? Like I said, there is no good mother. But, I mean, I didn't do drugs and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't know how to love my child because I was not loved. And so I didn't know how to love others. But since Jesus has come in my life, He's taught me so much about love and forgiveness, you know, and I just don't know what I'd do without Him. I don't ever want to know what I would do without Him, because I love Him so much, and He's so good to us, and He's always going to be there. He's always showed me. He's always been there for me. So, you know, I'm getting a lot out of the class, and I'm taking another class as well, but between the two, you know, I want as much of God as I can get. And so these mothers, you know, that have these wayward children, they haven't come home yet, God's still on the throne, and He's still doing miracles today. He's bringing your children back to you, but He wants you to be ready to receive them. You got to get rid of all the hurt that they've caused you, that you caused them. You know, you got to get a clean heart and a renewed mind, and that's it. That's all I got. I hope it blesses somebody, and everybody's been blessing me this morning, so I want to thank all the girls for that, too.
Yes, I tell you what, that is a great testimony of how you're growing, and I'm going to pray for you, sister. Lord, we just all pray right now for our sister that you reach down in her and pull out all them roots, Lord, that is holding her back, Lord, and heal her of those roots. God, heal her in every way. Continue to keep her on the potter's wheel, Lord, and working out those bumps and healing her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, sister, what about you today?
Good morning, everyone. I just thank you for blessing me this morning. Everyone's testimony's been amazing. And then, Mama June, you say, the potter's wheel. The Lord had taken me back, way back in the 90s, when I'd gotten spirit-filled, and it's like He was bringing me full circle. And He took me back. I was just kind of in my spirit-filled honeymoon, but I was getting ready to move to the potter's wheel, and we don't always know that in the beginning. We're so happy with our honeymoon. But I'm going to read a little bit here where in Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." So the Lord had begun to push me over into the potter's wheel, and looking back 30-some years, I recognize now that the Lord moved with me in patterns and seasons, and that feeling of being placed on the potter's wheel seems like he took me through three serious, serious crushings where he just kind of wrecked my whole life and made me brand new again. But to be encouraged, and this is how, just how he did it with me. And so, let's see. I would notice, and I'm sure we've all been there, that breaking, but I would just feel this ache in my spirit, in my belly. And I would know that process was beginning. But the Lord told me something very powerful to learn to live by. And so in Hebrews, let's see, 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." He taught me, whenever I would feel I was moving into that season, to recognize that it is the sword of the Lord. And he taught me, do not, at first you want to pull back, but he told me, I think over here, let's see, did I mark it? Hebrews. Let's see. There is a scripture in Hebrews. I thought I marked it with my, oh, here it is. It's in 10:39. When we feel that breaking coming, or we feel that season coming on, to remember that we're not of them who draw back unto perdition in 10:39, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't shrink back. He taught me to impale myself on the sword of his word, to impale myself upon him, that even though that sword will go in and cut deep, and Lord has it been deep to the very core of my being, I've wondered if I would live. He told me to trust him, that that one side of that sword would cut, but as he pulled that out, the other side of that blade would heal. And I just want to encourage everyone with that to, I would say, the three times he's taken me through that, I wondered if I would make it. But he's faithful. And when I had come home from church, it was like 30-some years ago, when he spoke this to me, he gave me, I don't know why, but, you know, I must have had the TV, I don't know. But he gave me this little poem, and I can't remember exactly how he gave it to me. But I just want to encourage everyone that we can lean into the sword and we can trust him with that. And that the hour that we're coming into is kind of what he spoke this little poem to me for. I love birds. Mama June loves birds. I guess we all love birds. But it just says that there is a legend about a bird which sings just once in its life, more sweetly than any other creature on the face of the earth. From the moment it leaves the nest, it searches for the thorn tree and does not rest until it has found one. Then singing among the savage branches, it impales itself upon the longest, sharpest spine. And dying, it rises above its own agony to out-carol the lark and the nightingale. One superlative song, existence the price, but the whole world stills to listen, and God in his heaven smiles, for the best is only bought at the cost of great pain, or so says the legend of the songbird. The thorn bird. I just want to encourage everyone that we're coming into our finest hour, and I'd even had an ache, like, am I going there again, Lord? But through another word he shared with me, he's sharpening us, and we can trust him, and I'm just thankful for all that he's doing in each and every one of us. And Mama June, I just thank you so much for sowing into my life, and that we sharpen each other like iron, and the Lord will sharpen us, and we don't ever have to shrink back. We can just impale ourselves upon him, and he will see us through this finest hour for the body of Christ. And thank you. I hope you're
now, all... Kimberly. I was thinking when you said impale yourself, I'm thinking of stabbing yourself. Is there a different definition you're thinking?
Impale? Do you remember kind of in the days of battle, like they didn't want to be killed by their enemy, so they would put themselves upon their own sword. But we can trust the Lord, and when we feel he's going in to cut something out or work on another layer or prepare us for something else, he told me, don't shrink back. Fall on it. He said, fall on the sword quickly. Let it cut you, because as soon as I pull it out, you're going to experience healing. So you don't have to
shrink. Oh, I see. Yes.
And fear. We can just fall on that, and we can trust. Our flesh will be dying, but our spirit will be coming to life as never before. So we don't ever have to worry about the cutting away of our flesh, even though it is dying. There is no doubt it is dying. There have been times I would just lay with my Bible, and I would say, Lord, you're cutting away everything that's dead that needs to be cut away. And, you know, I feel like I'm bleeding out, Lord, but you got me. And I know there's healing on the other side of this blade, because he's preparing us for our finest hour. And we have to be made ready at whatever the cost. And we're not wimpy Christians. He's coming for soldiers, and we can stand strong and stand firm. And why he's used that with me in my life, but he's used me, it seems like he would give me something to teach me. When you go into this season, you're going to feel this, do this. So I hope that encourages someone. Sometimes we can feel alone, or you wonder, how long, Lord? How deep, Lord? How dark, Lord? But he will bring the life as soon as he removes that blade. And I'm thankful for it on the other side. You know, at first I'm like, where's my honeymoon? I want my honeymoon back. But we don't grow there necessarily. He's got to go in and pull those things out of us. And we don't have to shrink back. We can fall on his sword and trust one side will cut, but when the other side will heal, and how faithful he is. And I just thank you for everybody for listening, and I just pray that something in that blesses somebody today. And I'll give it back to you,
sis. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much. You get an A+, even though you're not in the school. You're in another school. Thank you for giving back to the bride. Now, listen, I just want to pause really quick before we keep going to other people. I want to pray for Stephanie. Let's all come together in agreement for her. Lord, we just come together in agreement for Miss Stephanie. Lord, we're still believing you. We're still on the wall. We're still believing you, God, that cancer has got to go in the name of Jesus. We tell you, you do not set residence in her. We don't accept you. We reject you. We cast you out in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for healing her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being with her, Lord, in the midst of her suffering, that you're comforting her, Lord, ministering to her, having angels minister to her, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for filling her room with your presence, Lord, and your love and your warmth. Lord, we pray that you help her, Lord, to overcome through this obstacle that she's going through, Lord. Send her some help, Lord, people that will help her, Lord. And we just lay this all down at the foot of the cross right now, God, believing you for a miracle in her life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sister, I want to make sure before we moved on that we prayed for you, amen. All right, here we go with Miss. Hey, do you have anything this morning, sis?
Hey, not a whole lot. No, not a whole lot. I ended up being up all night. One of the things I did want to say, though, is the gal that was talking about hell, you know, there's one lady that I was listening to, same thing. Why was she in hell? She couldn't forgive her own husband. There's so many different reasons why some of us Christians will end up in hell if we don't pay attention. And I bless her, whoever was talking about that, bless her heart, because that is something that does need to come forth in us. And one of the things that hits me is my flesh likes to run its course and run the show. And yet we cannot be doing that. So I've been praying and asking, what is the root cause of all of that? And because of some of the hell that I've gone through and being thrown around and thrown in the ditch, I'm unable to forgive my own self and to love myself. I was here listening to myself the other day. I know that sounds kind of corny, but I talked to myself. And basically it was, okay, well, I didn't do that right. Well, that's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's just you. It's no big deal. It wasn't for someone else. If I'm doing something for someone else, by golly, I am there. I'm 100%, and I am a vessel for someone else. But yet, I don't love what God created, which is myself as well. And that's something that I know I've got to, that he's working with me on, and to get rid of that, because that is a sin not to love what he created. He created us to be in his image, and so yet, even though I don't necessarily care for some of the things that he created in me, which he will prune out, we are to love ourselves. And yet when there's a lot of people that have gone through the trauma, maybe has still a PTSD stuff going on, after 60 years of being thrown in the ditch and told you're a nobody and this, that, and the other thing, people that have said, oh, you're my friend and I love you, and then in, you know, a month or two later, I'm done with you because I said I wasn't pre-trib or whatever, you know, some crazy thing. And so I've known that, you know, people have got a lot of hot air in them, and that's where sometimes when people say they're alone, that's where it comes from, is that people have rejected them so often because of who they are and who God created them to be. And so sometimes that doesn't help loving yourself when other people are not loving what you are. And so to bring out those hidden faults And I was talking with a friend of mine who's known me for 35 years, and she goes, "You don't really know what grace is, do you? You've never really experienced or lived it." And she's right. She's right. I never had a father that I could trust, and I can't. So when God, the Father, says, "I love you," it's hard to comprehend what that feels like, what that's supposed to look like. What is grace? What is mercy? And a lot of that is part of the flesh is getting in the way of that, because that puts up that flag. So I don't know if anybody else is in that same boat as well, but those are things that we need to come out of. And it may even fall into what that one lady was talking about, the presumptuous sins, the deliberate, the willful. Although I don't willfully want to have my flesh run things, and yet it does. But I think God is going to help me get past all that and to experience His grace and His mercy. And as June was talking about yesterday, is the bumps. These are some of the bumps. No matter how long you've been in this, there's always bumps, and we need to get rid of the bumps. Bumps of the flesh, because like that one lady talked about, we are coming into our finest hour, and if we're not tuned to get the bumps out, we're going to trip and fall over our own bumps. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I've been looking at having disarmed the scripture, Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And so those principalities and powers, those evil principalities and powers that are over us, God will make a public spectacle of them, but we will triumph over them. And so let's keep working on the triumph. Everybody work on your triumph, and we will make it through one way, shape, or form. And we just give Him praise and glory, and we just thank You for it right now. And I just thank You right now for June. We just lift her up to You, and I thank You, Father, for Your healing virtue over her. I thank You for the healing balm of Gilead to wipe this thing out of her body today in Jesus' name. And we pray for Stephanie that the healing balm of Gilead is over her body as well, and that the peace of God is over her, and that Your love flows in and through them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Miss June.
All right, sis, thank you so much. You get an A+. And yes, in addition to that is, you know, listening to the other lady talking about hell too. It's basically all about our heart. And, you know, it's like we're learning in Bible college. It's the heart of, you know, being willing to be chastised and rebuked and corrected, and how God does use other people and, you know, family members and many different ways to talk to you. And sometimes that is, you know, a gentle nudge, you know, hey, watch this, watch that. But being willing to be corrected and stuff like that, you know. All right, let's go to the next one. What about you, sis?
Hello, this is Sister Darlene. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to communicate with everyone today that, you know, we all got to realize that we're being tested like Job. And even Job said in the end, I know my Redeemer lives. So I just wanted to share with you that I asked God a few years ago why He put us here to be in this place with everything that goes on. And basically He said, I'm putting the fallen angels to shame because they were in His presence and yet turned away. And we don't get to see God, yet we put our trust in Him. We're blessed because we don't get to see, yet we believe and trust in Him. So I'm actually out running errands right now because I had to go to the dentist, and I'm glad that at least I'm not in a chair anymore. But I just wanted to come into agreement with everyone saying we need to abide in Christ and stay in Him, and we don't need to know everything that's going on in the world. At some point, there's a, you know, you learn a few things, but you don't need to know everything. And you got to trust that the Lord's going to handle what's going on. And basically, it becomes a waste of time to delve into every rabbit trail possible. And you got to realize you're wasting your time instead of spending your time being strong, becoming strong in the Lord, and faith, and hearing the Holy Spirit, and listening, and being obedient. So that's the only thing I wanted to share today.
Well, thank you so much. I thought it was pretty cool that you said you was glad to be out of the chair.
Nothing going on. Dennis goes, you're doing good. Just continue doing what you're doing. So there, that went on. I just, you know, went about my regular whatever. No, but I'm saying this. But I was in the chair, and the phone was on the chair in the corner, and everybody was listening. You know, I was like, "Well, the prayer call's going on, good." And then the dental technician came in, and she had rainbow Crocs on with rainbow.
Oh my world!
She had rainbow Crocs and rainbow socks and rainbow T-shirt, and I didn't say nothing. I just said, "Have a good day."
Right.
What's the point at this point? Like my pastor said, they asked me to pick the color for worship every week, and I was picking green because I have green eyes, right? So it brings out the green eye. She says, "Well, we got somebody, you know, that's a color for witchcraft." And I thought, which color of the rainbow are they going to steal now? You know what I mean? At some point, you're just going to say enough.
Right. Hey, I don't quit liking purple just because they've taken over purple. Amen.
Right. Purple was the color for royalty. Yeah, exactly. How much you going to give the devil over to the devil? I'm just done. Yeah, we're not doing that.
All right.
I have to.
All right. Sister, I love you. All right, we've got one more person. Let me see here. Yes, we've got one more person. Okay, good morning. How about you? Good morning. Hello? All right. Well, I'm going to end this call with a word. I really want to encourage you guys this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I just want to insert a thought here in verse 18, where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, I believe is praying in tongues. And then the other is watching thereunto with perseverance, I believe is us being a watchman. And like Miss Darlene said earlier, you know, we have to be careful that we're not following all truth. We're not meant to see all truth. And we're watching, but we're watching very carefully. And for me, verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. This is a for all you women that are asking God to make you bolder. This is your scripture. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, the other day I did a news report about Israel, the country, and how they have this wicked program that they have called the gospel. I believe that is in mockery to us as Christians, because we know we preach the gospel. I mean, it's a well-known fact that we call it the gospel. Then it says in verse 14, stand therefore. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. In verse 20 it says, for which I am an ambassador. Remember us talking earlier how we're all ambassadors. In bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In bonds means I am restrained. I am held back. I'm not able to be as I was. You remember yesterday when I was talking to you guys about my testimony, you know that I didn't want to give God. The reason he said 12 years ago, I want you to work for me, I'm your boss, don't run from me again or I'll have to take your life. And that's because I had backslid so many times because I did not want to give God all that he wanted me to give. I wanted to hold some back because I knew what it meant to do what he wanted me to do. And so he was telling me that my destiny is so big, I cannot waver anymore. And that's what it means by bonds. I'm in bonds. You know, just like he's talking about right here. We're in bonds because when we are in the Lord's will and we are in him, we're no longer ourselves. To where we can just go out here and go partying and go sing karaoke, drinking a margarita, and you know, nothing like that anymore. We're in bonds, you know. We are held in restraint to the word of God. We are held to a higher standard. We are ambassadors, you know. And we are expected to act certain ways, you know. And it's a good bond. It's not that I'm complaining, but I'm just telling you how, you know, the battle that I had of giving him 100% because I wanted to be able to, you know, how you think, have fun. My personality, like a lot of you women, I'm outgoing and I'm a, you know, a socialite at heart. And so I love people and I love being out and having fun and, you know, getting to know people and doing stuff all the time. You know, I've never, ever been a homebody, you know. And, but when you're in Christ, you know, and doing what he tells you to do, you know, it's a lot different. You're more disciplined. You're more, you know, you don't watch the same things they do. You don't go to the same places they go to. You don't talk the way you used to. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way that the Lord is. I bet Stephanie's saying she misses being able to go out. Now, Stephanie's situation is different because she is a Christian, but her body is failing her. You know, it's held up. Her body has been taken over in, you know, we're talking about the natural, by cancer. And so she's very weak and she feels like she has no control anymore. And I can understand, Stephanie, why you feel that way. I really can. We, at these points in our lives, we really have to just ask the Lord, you know, or tell the Lord, Lord, I just love you when I understand, and I love you when I don't. And this is one of them cases that we don't understand. And I want you to know something, Stephanie. Just because you're battling with this does not make you lesser than anybody else here. I just want to say that because that's one thing about Pentecostalism or charismatic world or, you know, the Pentecostals, people that believe in signs, miracles, and wonders, speak in tongues and all that, like this is all me type of deal. Whenever people come to church, sometimes they can make them feel less than because they have a challenge, you know. They're in a wheelchair, they have a kid with autism or something, some type of disability. They look down on it like you don't have enough faith or something like that, you know. I don't ever want people to feel that way because God is the one in control. And if it is our fault, you know, then just God change our hearts, you know. But they're just as equal as everybody else in that church. And I want everybody to feel, you know, the same. It's just that you're battling something everybody can see. There's other people battling stuff that other people can't see. Anger, bitterness, wrath, you know. But anyway, so yes, you're accepted in the Beloved, and so is everybody else here as well. Okay, so finishing up the scripture here. Verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you. Okay, well, he just finishes. But anyway, so here's how I pray on the full armor of God every day, and then we'll get off here. I just pray it on like this. Now, Brock, you know, me and him had a little discussion and a little difference on our beliefs on this. Because he doesn't believe that you have to pray it on every day you already have it, which he may be right, but Bride, sorry about that. It booted me. But I'm glad to be back. I guess that was everything anyway. I will see you guys later on. How's that? Talk to you later. God bless.